Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It's The Breakfast Huddle. I'm Elliot Danker. It is time now for The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang. A couple of issues we're looking at in China. There's some growing concerns over the property sector. You'll fill us in just a bit. But to start us off, this morning we have a bit of a warning from the Fed Beige Book.
That's right. So the regular study from the Fed, the Beige Book, is pointing to how inflation is picking up and starting to be a problem for many U.S. businesses. So that means higher costs for them when it comes to raw materials as well as manpower. So that feeds into their sales when it comes to profit margins being squeezed unless they can pass it on to consumers. So that's something to watch for the upcoming earnings in the coming quarters. And also in China, you point out the property sector under pressure because real estate giant Evergrande is under pressure from huge debts. So there's growing worries this will spill over into other industries and even other countries and maybe turning into a bit of a regional economic crisis. So let's get a bigger picture from Shane Oliver. He is the head of investment strategy and chief economist at AMP Capital. Morning, Shane. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Ryan. Happy you are too.
We are doing great as well, Shane. Now, let's start with that view of inflation in the US. So we've got a warning from the Federal Reserve in its Beige Book that it's picking up. What's your take on this, considering the signals we've been getting from the jobs data? It's been quite patchy, especially with the non-farm payrolls last Friday came in at over 200,000. The forecast was for over 700,000 for August. What's your take on that, considering how Fed officials still think it's a good time to taper this year?
I guess always after an initial rebound in the economy, you go through a phase where some economic data becomes more mixed because that initial bounce has happened. We've seen the bulk of the recovery and then you move into a slower, less certain phase. And I think that's where we are at the moment. It's complicated, of course, because of these supply constraints. Yeah, one, obviously, is that the Delta outbreak in the US saw some workers stay away from work. We've still got the enhanced unemployment benefits, which continued through July, August, but have now ended. But the data we're still getting relates to July and August. And so people are still staying at home to some degree. So you're not seeing the sort of labour supply we'd normally get. And we're getting these price pressures come through as there's been a huge surge in demand for goods at the expense of demand for services as a result of consumer caution and lockdowns and so on. So these things are complicating things dramatically. I think it remains very unlikely that the Fed will announce a tapering at its September meeting. But the way things are going, we're still on track for pretty good growth in the US. And therefore, I think the Fed is still on track to announce a taper at its November meeting, probably to start soon thereafter or in December.
Yeah, Shane, I'm wondering what the higher pickup in inflation will do for earnings. Will companies be able to pass on these costs to consumers, or do you think they will absorb most of it?
Well, it's a bit of both. Some companies will struggle to pass it on because demand is still below normal levels and those companies will see declining profit margins. Other companies where demand is very strong, for example, in auto production, problem is a shortage of semiconductor chips go into the cars, but they'll probably push the prices up. They already have, but they might continue a bit of that. So it's going to be a bit of a mixed bag, but it will mean that the rate of profit growth will slow down from what it has been.
Yeah, that seems to be the case when we look at the views coming through from Morgan Stanley, Citigroup, Credit Suisse, all of them cautioning on the outlook for US equities, pointing to how there's going to be very little upside from here on. How does this align with your views? We've got, for example, Morgan Stanley saying they are more favorable for Japanese and European stocks instead of the US.
Well, I guess there's been a bit of a debate about that all year. The initial rebound in share markets globally was dominated by, well, of course, China and then the US share market. And the US share market benefited from, I guess, more aggressive fiscal and monetary stimulus up front and also its exposure to tech stocks, which benefited from the lockdown. And then there's a theory, a debate all year as to whether it's time to rotate to other markets. I tend to agree with that view that it is time to rotate to other markets. There are better opportunities there. But I just caution that the US share market has had a habit of keeping on. It just keep pushing through. And even if there are these growth uncertainties, then that will actually benefit the tech stocks. So I wouldn't give up totally on the US share market. I think the better way to characterize it is that you're better off having a more diverse portfolio. Don't just rely on the US, but also accept that having seen those massive gains over the last 12, 15 months, that they're going to slow down going forward. And that's the normal play out in bull markets, initial surge and then a slower, more volatile period. And that's, I think, what we've come into.
Yeah, that's a great point, because we keep seeing records day after day or week after week in the US. So who knows when that bandwagon will stop. And turning our attention to China, we now have growing concerns over the property sector. We've got real estate giant Evergrande under pressure from huge debts. There's some worries this could spill over into other industries and maybe even other countries. How realistic is this risk right now, Shane, when you look at how it might spiral?
Look, it's certainly a big risk. The Chinese authorities are focusing now on more equitable growth. And of course, one of the big concerns has been the surge in property prices in China, and that's been the biggest cost for, say, middle-income families in China. And so the authorities are trying to clamp down on that. At the same time, Evergrande obviously has some issues. And of course, this is all combining, this clamp down on the property market, combining with the issues regarding Evergrande to cause these concerns. My feeling is that it's probably one of the bigger risks in relation to China. Their property market has been very, very strong for many, many years. There's been lots of predictions of an imminent crash, talk of ghost cities and so on. All of those came to nothing. But there is a risk there. Flip side is that the Chinese authorities, yes, they are more focused on, I guess, more equitable growth, bringing the middle class along, shared prosperity, so to speak. But they also don't want to see a collapse in the rate of economic growth, because that will lead to social unrest. So I think, yes, we may go through a bit of an uncertain period, which could weigh a little bit on commodity prices, which is a bit of a drag for Australia. But I don't think they're going to let it get too out of hand, because they don't want to see the Chinese growth story threatened too much.
Yeah, that's a good point. A commodity story in Australia, of course, a big supplier for things like iron ore, which is needed in the Chinese construction industry. What's that going to do for prices of commodities as well as the Australian dollar if this gets worse?
Well, if it gets worse, they'll go down. We have seen, obviously, sharp falls since July in the iron ore price. It was over $200 a tonne. We're now at $135 a tonne or thereabouts. So a big fall there. That could go further from here, and it could affect other commodities going into the over the next few months. Flip side, though, is if the Chinese authorities then start to stimulate growth, then, of course, that could turn around. But I think that's more of a 2022 story, and that's when I see the cyclical story getting reinvigorated again as the world sort of comes out of these Delta coronavirus scares and we see more vaccination and global growth gets another head of steam up through next year. Then I think that will benefit commodity prices. But in the short term, there is a bit of uncertainty hanging over commodity prices as a result of China.
Yep, the property sector will be one to watch in China. We've been chatting with Shane Oliver. He is the Head of Investment Strategy and Chief Economist at AMP Capital. Shane, as always, thank you so much for your time this morning.
My pleasure, Ryan. Have a great day.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.